بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: خير قرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, natural, perfect deen to follow, which is sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are discussing the three incidents between Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. We have started the discussion, inshallah we continue. We had mentioned that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, they boarded this boat or this ferry. And whilst on that ferry, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he saw, according to some mufassirin, scholars in tafsir, he saw a bird. And this bird, it picked up a little bit water, a drop of water with its beak. And by dipping its beak into the water, it picked up a little bit water, and this water fell back into the river which they were traveling. Because according to some scholars, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he had to meet Khizr alayhi salam where the two rivers meet. So they were talking about the two seas or two rivers. Some are saying that this could refer to the Persian and the Roman seas. So when Musa alayhi salam, he saw this, then it struck him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching him via the bird. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching him and reminding him of that person who posed this question, which subsequently led to this whole trip. Because as I mentioned to you, Musa alayhi salam had given a very eloquent speech, and then one of them asked him that, is there anyone who is more knowledgeable than you? At that stage, Musa alayhi salam said, no. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him undergo this trip and meet Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, when he saw that bird pick up the water, then he thought, yes, that the knowledge that we possess compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even equal to this drop falling into the ocean. And this is our belief also, that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in totality, and in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all encompassing, and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely vast. In fact, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. There is no limit to it. You cannot say that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts here or ends here. And you heard repeatedly the ulama are describing the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the movement of a black leg, of a black ant under the rock which is in the ocean, and in the darkness of that ocean, under the darkness of the rock, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the movement and Allah sees the movement of that ant. Further we'll add that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything about that ant, its temperature, its movement, and all those things about that. And only Allah knows this. Allah's knowledge is supreme. He knows what is going in my heart, your heart, and we cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam was reminded of that, and he realized now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending him out with Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. Hazrat Khizr, what he did, that according to some scholars now, they say he spoke to Musa alayhi salam and then they pulled out a few planks of that ship. According to the other Mufassirin, they say no, he informed the ship owners that, listen, I am going to remove a few planks of your ship. And because they knew him, first of all, they did not charge them. They did not charge any fee to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam or Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. So he did that, and the ship did not sink because of the presence of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, immediately he queried this, that what are you doing? Why are you doing such an action? So Khizr alayhi salam said, no, go ask any questions, have patience. So Musa alayhi salam, because he had made a pact, he is the student, Khizr is the teacher, he had made a pact, and I explained to you that the student and the teacher must be compatible, and the student must be prepared to learn from the teacher, and the student can be more elder than the teacher also, or can be younger than the teacher, no problem. And the student also can question the teacher, why you are doing this and why you are doing this. These days we've got difficulty because, yeah, especially in South Africa, we are under a wave of tasawwuf. And everybody is becoming so pious and righteous. And unfortunately, whatever the Peer Sahib says or whatever the Hazrat says, that is like canon law. And unfortunately, these days, you'll hear from many bayans now, and you will hear the ulama, unfortunately, quoting more from Hazrat than Hazrat Peer and my Sheikh saying this, and my Sheikh is saying this. What happened to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Have we forgotten about Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now it's my Sheikh and my Peer and my Hazrat. What is going on? What are we doing to our deen? And we are becoming like worshippers of these Hazrats and these Peers. Yes, quote them, but give preference to Quran and give preference to Sunnah and give preference to Sahaba. These days in the Bayan, you don't hear anybody quoting Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali. We don't hear anybody quoting Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam in detail. We don't hear anybody quoting. When I say anybody, this is where the pattern is happening. Talking about Allah and the Quran al-Kareem. And people are being now, they've been taken for a joyride. So yeah, respected elders, yeah, as you say clearly, Musa alayhi salam queried this. Why are you doing such an action? Khizr alayhi salam, when they got off from that ferry, and when they started walking, into a village they walked, and they saw some youngsters playing. And when they saw these youngsters playing, children playing, then Khizr alayhi salam, he walked up to one young boy and literally beheaded him. There is many narrations how he did this. According to some, that he just gave that young boy one smack and the boy, he died. According to some, he severed the boy's head. Now when this happened in front of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam said, "What's going on here?" And he told him that, told Khizr, that how you can kill a soul which has not taken the soul of another, which we call in Islam the concept of qisas, that if someone kills someone, then you are entitled to take the soul. So Musa alayhi salam immediately told him that how you can do such an action? Yeah, again, that showing us that Musa alayhi salam, immediately he objected, immediately he queried it, immediately he questioned it, and telling Khizr alayhi salam that why you did such an action? These days, unfortunately, you see that how people sit in front of their sheikhs, how they sit in front of their ulama, how they sit in front of their hazrat, and they sit like statues, and the hazrat also sits like a big statue, and whatever he says is like canon law. And if you tell him, question him, so how can you question hazrat? Hazrat will get upset. This is again avoiding the truth. No one, sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, when they sat before Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever they wanted to know, they asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what is this? What is the answer for this? What is the question for this? And how do we address this problem?" They were talking to him. And today what has happened, that we have become like peer worshippers, hazrat worshippers, and we have become those who are idol worshippers. There's a whole community that's worshipping the dead, and now we are becoming a community that's worshipping the living. And beware of that. Rectify your belief. Allah is the all-powerful, and Allah is the provider. Every other person, respected elders in our era, you can question him, you can ask him, and there is no one above the law. Everybody has to come under the Islamic law. So Musa alayhi salam asked him, "What are you doing?" So Khizr told him again. Now this time Khizr told him strongly, in stronger words, that "I told you, do not ask me until I offer you the explanation. Until I give you the explanation, then you can take the explanation." Yeah, unfortunately, we have to mention too, if the ulama are doing something wrong, you approach them and tell them, "See, you're doing this wrong." If someone is doing something wrong, you can approach them, tell them, "See, you are doing this wrong." Yes, there is protocol, there is a method of doing it, but it has to be done. And unfortunately, we have become so honorable and so noble that we do not want to say anything against anybody. So they proceeded. When they carried on proceeding, yeah, point is that Musa alayhi salam, remember, he's a Nabi of Allah. And he has gone by the instruction of Allah that go and seek my servant, Khizr. Nabi of Allah is the genius of the time. Nabi of Allah is the one who has got the most information in that time. And the Nabi of Allah, he need not go out to seek knowledge. But here Allah is showing us that even the Nabi of Allah is waiting for something extra, some extra knowledge. So ulama make a discussion that it is permissible to go out and seek knowledge, which is over and above. So if a person is an alim, he can go out to another area, he can go out to another place and seek knowledge. And he can seek any other type of knowledge also. One is pure deeni knowledge. It is laudable, permissible to go and seek it. And to seek it in another land, and to seek it in another place, that is permissible. But also it is permissible to seek that non-divine knowledge. For example, to become a doctor, or to become an engineer, you can leave your place, you can leave your house, you can leave your home, you can leave your locality, you can leave your province, and go out and seek that knowledge, which is permissible knowledge. So it is permissible to seek permissible knowledge. It is good, you can go out and seek that knowledge, provided you stay within the conforms and the confines of Sharia. Musa alayhi salam and Khizr alayhi salam, they began to proceed. They entered into a locality. And there is big discussion, where is that locality? Some say, no, it is in the northern part, close to, northern part of Turkey, close to the coastal areas. And even some say that a delegation from there came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to alter part of Quran al-Kareem. That is a Ruhul Mani says that's a fabrication narration, and we should not rely on that. However, here, when they went into that locality, then they were hungry by the time they reached that locality. And they asked the people of the locality for some food. They asked the people of the locality for some provision. And the people of the locality refused them. Now here we learn that first of all, those also at the ship, when they boarded that ship was not of believers. That ship was not of believers. And they gave them a free ride. So it is permissible to utilize the amenities of the non-believers. It is permissible to utilize the facilities of the non-believers. It is permissible to transact with the non-believers. It is permissible to transact a deal with the non-believers. And if they give you something to, it is permissible to accept it. And also, yeah, when they ask for food, it is permissible to ask the non-believers for food when you are in need of it, and it is permissible to go to their locality and seek food, etc. That is permissible. So when they were refused and they were about leaving the town now and they are hungry, and obviously a person who is hungry, he does not now want to aid a person who let him down or did not behave well to him. Nevertheless, there was a wall that was about to collapse. So Hazrat Khizr, he straightened that wall. According to some Mufassirin, that he just went there and he, with his hand, he straightened it, he began to straighten it. The strength of a Nabi is far more than the strength of a normal human being. We get two incidents in Quran al-Kareem. We show you this, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he was at that time staying with Firaun, when he came out and he saw one Bani Israel and one Kipti, they were having heated argument, and the Bani Israel, he called to Musa alayhi salam that help me. So Musa alayhi salam went and he decided to separate this fight. And in the process of separation of this fight, then he moved his hand. When he moved his hand, it landed upon the Kipti, the Egyptian. It landed upon him, and it was like a backhand onto that Kipti. That person died. Musa alayhi salam did not realize that his hand, and he's got so much force and power in his hand. When Musa alayhi salam eventually left Firaun, and he proceeded, when he came to the locality of Shuaib alayhi salam, and he found the daughters of Shuaib alayhi salam, they're standing on one side, and the other people are utilizing the well, etc. And then they covered that well up with a huge plate. So Musa alayhi salam, single-handed, he just moved that plate. And the daughters were surprised. Normally you require 10 people to move that plate. Here Musa alayhi salam, after a journey, tired, fatigued, he just pushed that plate and moved it. So the strength of a Nabi, according to some, is equal to 100 Jannati men. And one Jannati man, his strength is equal to 1,000 earthly people. So there is tremendous strength in the physique of a Nabi even. So Khizr alayhi salam straightened that wall. When he straightened that wall, after straightening that wall, he proceeded. So Musa alayhi salam, now he got worried. He said to Khizr that these people, this locality did not give us food, and you straightened a wall for them. What is happening here? These people did not even be hospitable to us, and you go and straighten one wall for them. It does not make sense, this. In fact, we should be just going away from there. So then Khizr alayhi salam told him that, see, now is the time for us to divide. Now is the time for us that we move apart. Now is the time for us that you go your way and I go my way. But before we separate, let me explain to you the wisdom and the secret behind this. And now the teacher, Khizr alayhi salam, he is explaining to Musa alayhi salam why he is doing what he is doing. And why he did those three actions? Yeah, we learned something, that the teacher must not leave the student unsatisfied. When he is teaching the student, that he must carry on answering the questions of the student until the student is satisfied. And the student also should not leave the teacher until he is satisfied. And the student should be satisfied and then part from the teacher. And the teacher should make sure that my student has left me fully satisfied. He's got the answers that whatever he wanted, I've provided him with the answers. However, as a rule in life, that do not probe too much into the life of your ulama, and do not probe too much into the life of your mashayikh, of your shuyukh, or to your spiritual leaders. If you probe too much into their lives, that because these days, our lives, they are not perfect, and they are not extremely righteous and pious, then you'll find fault in anybody. And if a person is looking for fault, he will find fault. There are people who have, tried to find fault with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They find fault with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So the safe action is that take benefit from the ulama, take benefit from the mashayikh, without trying to jump into their pockets and finding out too much detail. If you will do that, you will lose heart and you are going to break your courage. So Khidr alayhi salam told him, you see, that the ship, why we took out the planks and why we disfigured it a little bit, was because there was a tyrant, oppressive king, and he was coming with his ship. And if he saw any ship which was very good and which was not disfigured and which was very nice looking, then he, because he's oppressive and he's tyrannical, he was taking over the ship. So we took out the planks and we disfigured it a little bit. So when the ship was seen by the king, then he just let it go. He said, no, this ship here is not very good, and this ship here is broken, and this ship is not looking nice. He left that ship. And Khidr alayhi salam knew that these people, the ship owners, although they were poor, they could repair the ship a little bit later. They could make some means and repair the ship a little bit later. Here also, that Khidr was aiding these ship owners, and these ship owners required his aid. So you can aid even people who are so-called wealthy or externally looking wealthy. And these days, a person, he can have a big house, drive fancy car, but technically speaking, he's a recipient of zakat. That you see every day happening in our localities. That a person, he is driving a very big car and living in luxury, so-called, but he can take zakat. Why? He is steeped in OD, drowning in interest, transacting in HP, and he is owned by the bank. Secondly, that Khidr alayhi salam explained that the young boy that we killed, this young boy, he was going to trouble his parents, and he was going to become rebellious to his parents, and he was going to prove to be a problem and difficulty for his parents. Therefore, we removed him before he could give difficulty to his pious and righteous parents. So the act was done by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did not do anything from my own accord. I was ordered by Allah to do this, to protect the status, position of the pious, believing parents. Khidr alayhi salam executed that boy. It is stated then that parents, they got a daughter, and the daughter was a mother of, according to some, Isa alayhi according to some, that Isa alayhi salam, according to some, no, some other Anbiya, according to some, no, that she was daughter to many Anbiya alayhi salam. The truth of the matter, we do not know. Then as they proceeded, he said, why we put the wall right, although they did not give us the food, because underneath that wall were the treasures of two orphans, who the father had left the treasure hidden under that wall, and due to the age and weather, that wall was about to fall down. Therefore, we straighten and solidify that wall so that the treasure may be maintained, and so that the treasure can remain there. When those two orphans become of age, they know where it is, they'll come and take it out. But if that wall has to fall down, then the locality people, they will regard this as booty and they'll take the wealth away, they'll take the treasure away. So that is why we straightened the wall. And he kept on repeating that this is from the Amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when he says that, Khizr alayhi salam, he is indicating towards one direction that he is a Nabi of Allah. And it does not make him superior to Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam had a shariat, he's a Rasul. And Khizr is a Nabi. A Rasul is higher than a Nabi. A Rasul comes with a shariat, with a book, with a new codification of law. A Nabi follows the previous Rasul or the contemporary Rasul. And if we have to say that no, that the Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi and Khizr is a Wali, and now the Nabi had to go to learn under the Wali, this will be not conducive, and in fact it will bring God blasphemy. It will bring God blasphemy. Why? Because a Nabi need not go to a Wali. That position different, that status different. Yes, a Nabi can go to another, a Rasul can go to a Nabi, or a Nabi can go to another Nabi, because they are in principle on an equal footing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand, to practice deen, and make a lot of dua for the Taliban. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.